Hello and happy Monday, everybody. Happy Monday. Thanks for tuning into Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove. We come at you every single Monday night at 7 o'clock to talk about your job, your career, your vision made clear, the skills that you hone for the business that you own, the ups and the downs and the smiles and frowns, where you're at and where you're bound. I'm on a quest to bring you the industry best, and today I have two very, very special guests. So today I've got two young managers, two young and up-and-coming superstars in the world of industry and commerce, all right? And the two of them are staring at each other going, why, you have two other guests coming in? And you never know what's going to happen here. So for those of you who've never tuned in Bacon Bits before, what we're basically about is teaching the world a little bit more about how to find happiness in the business world. And today is the fourth installment of a very special 10-piece segment all about young managers in business. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you guys say hello. Our two guests today are Luke Jalove and Nate Filippelli. So let me turn you guys on. So Nate, you're over here, and Luke. So Luke, go ahead and say give us a yell. Say hi to the world.
This is Luke Jalove coming in from rainy Round Lake.
Beautiful. I'm loving it. See if you can top that, Nate.
Oh, man, that's tough, Marty. I'm just excited to be here to really get into the nuts and bolts of business management. It's a big passion of mine. I'm just excited to be here.
So, Nate, this is going to be about conflict resolution. Do you have any conflicts at all in life, or is everything smooth for you?
You know, I can't stand my brother Luke, but besides that, not much going on. You know?
All right, beautiful. Yeah. That's what it's all about, right? Okay, well, so I want to get right into this. For those of you who've never tuned in to Bacon Bits, again, shame on you. This is a show you should be listening to every week. And if you miss the live episode, which is every Monday night on WRLR 98.3 FM The Life, if you miss that, you can always follow us on Bacon Bits with Master Happiness anywhere you listen to podcasts. So today, again, like I said, we're going to be talking about conflicts and conflict resolutions at business. And before we get started, I just want to make it perfectly clear, and I'll hear what you guys have to say, but I'm very pro-conflict. I like having conflicts at the office, not to the point where you get to fists or fighting and taking you out in the alley. Not that bad. What I want to do is I want there to be some conflicts, because from conflict, we get growth. All right, so what do you guys think? Who's got an opinion over here?
Oh, I think conflict is absolutely necessary for the growth of a business, and also just the promotion of other ideas. If you only have one person who's like, these are the ideas and this is what we're going to go by, you really can stunt your growth. Whereas if you have multiple opinions, and sometimes you have to have a little bit of contention, a little bit of strife over those yep. opinions, because it promotes thought and discussion and argument. There's oftentimes you can really grow something from that.
We are off to a great start. Nate came here to play today. You know, Luke came in the audience, and Nate's like, I'm not having it. I'm starring in today's show. So, Luke, what do you think in general? We spoke a little bit about conflict. What do you think in general about conflict at the office? A lot of people immediately shy away from it. They go, oh, I wish we could avoid it completely. What do you think?
I think conflict is necessary because conflict comes from problems and yep. differences
yep.
that are always going to be there. So if there's not conflict, that just means that those differences, those different wants people have aren't getting met in one way or another, because they're just being too shy. And that's going to lead to resentment and way greater conflict than if you just say, hey, I have a problem with how you're doing this.
Right.
Can we compromise, or can we do this my way? Something like that.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what was interesting? I heard a quote from somebody else, and I really, really like this, is one of the first things we have to do as a world, we are tending to fall back into just saying, all right, Will, I'll listen to you. We'll go with your way. I don't mean to offend you, or I don't mean to argue with you. We'll just bend the rules for you. We tend to be living in a world like that, and sometimes that's important to do, but other times what's happening is we've softened ourselves, I believe. And so what I like is the idea of, if you can't be nice, be kind. So in other words, there's a difference between being nice versus being kind. And nice kind of means of going, all right, I don't want to hurt your feelings, so I'll just agree with you and we'll move forward, as opposed to telling the people, I do kind of disagree with you. I want to understand where you're coming from so we can move forward on this. Can you explain this a little bit further? I want to understand you. I'm going to open my mind. That's being kind versus being nice. What do you guys think of that?
No, I think that's a really good analogy and just a really good point. Because sometimes in the, you know, with like the niceness, it's, you almost get taken advantage of in a way.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
People can kind of walk all over you. Whereas there is a very diplomatic and right way to tell somebody that they are wrong.
Right.
Without like just really destroying what they're saying. And you can do it in a kind way. And there's a lot of that. Whereas niceness is often, you know, can kind of be taken as weakness.
Yes, correct. And I think I'm going to go along with what you were saying there. I have found sometimes when you get somebody who maybe just doesn't have a strong belief in many things, but just has really, really strong beliefs in a few specific things. What happens is they tend to be the nice person going, all right, we'll go with your way. We'll go with your way. It's not that important to me. And then they tend to kind of roll over on most things. And then when they do feel really strong upon something, it seems like it's almost too late, because then they speak up and it's hard for the rest of the team to accept this new idea because they're so used to just having their way.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things we have to do is we have to stress that on new ideas, new concepts, new thoughts, we sometimes have to purposely play the devil's advocate and fight with them, create a conflict, a friendly conflict, something small, just so everyone gets in the mode that it's quite okay. It's all right to disagree. It just gives us an opportunity to see both sides of the coin.
Right. Well, and to kind of play on what you were leading into, there's the saying, and it's a little archaic, but I do like it, and it's that hard times breed strong men. Strong men breed good times. Good times breed soft men.
Yep.
Soft men breed hard times. And it's, you know, it's a little, you know, masculine. It's a little bit too much this day and age. But it's really the concept that without conflict, things and like there's a deterioration of the wellness of life.
Yes.
Because things become too easy, or it's you know, this is the way we've always done it, and there's no new thought, there's no new growth, no new invention.
Right, yeah. Or what's worse is when it all falls apart, and then one person goes, well, I could have told you this was going to happen, but nobody asks me my opinion.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, because we're not in a, we don't have a culture where we can disagree, so I'm just doing it the way you told me to do it. Yep. That's what's even worse. And I'm saying that, and as I say that, I see Luke over there smiling. Has that happened to you, Luke?
Or has it?
even at home.
I was just smiling because I agree, but, you know, I have to say, I've noticed a lot of, I've been... I've witnessed a lot of things happen and then been like, well, I knew that was going to happen. And then people are naturally, they're like, well, why didn't you say anything? And it's like,
because I didn't want to.
That's a good point. Why didn't I?
See, no, I like that answer. You're absolutely right.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes I think knowing you, Luke, probably your entire life, you know,
near it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That you have always been one of those kind of roll with the flow kind of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am sure that there's plenty of times where something has happened and you're looking going, ah, it's not the way I would have done it. Or, you know, or they ask your opinion like, I don't really care. Do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it happens. You're like, yeah, I should have said something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I could definitely see that happening in your life sometime. So it's really important for young managers, old managers, anyone involved in a company to not be afraid to speak up, to talk about things that, hey, this doesn't look right. I don't think this is the right thing for us. I think this is going to hurt the company. I think it's going to hurt the process, this department, whatever it is. I think it's really important for us to speak up on these things where we disagree. And hopefully the company has a culture that allows that to happen. So I always go back to the basics of a company culture and values, that the culture has to be the idea that we want input from our people, as opposed to a hierarchy company where they're saying, look, the guy at the top makes all the rules, everyone else just shut up and listen. All right. And there are some people who enjoy working for a company like that, and there are some people who enjoy managing a company like that. But for a company to truly grow, you need something where you want the input from other people.
You really do, because what happens a lot of those times is if the person who makes all the decisions, for whatever reason, isn't available, be it their yeah. vacation or anything,
right?
It is just chaos because everybody's like, well, I don't know what to do. And nobody wants to yep. make the decisions because they're afraid of making the wrong one. But right. they, like, you have to promote that thought and the willingness to disagree and come to a solution so that people are able and feel able to make decisions on their own.
So true. So true. One of the earlier shows, we talked about moving from just a worker, and I considered it, I said it was people doing duties up to making decisions and then eventually directing and being someone who's dedicated to the job. One of the first step is making decisions, and that's where you challenge yourself to say, I'm going to make a decision that conflicts with our norm. I have to make a decision. I could be wrong, but you have to be strong enough to do that.
Right.
I see, Luke, you're giving me the stink eye over there. You're like, I'm like, oh, all right. So it just, that means I turn the camera on you.
That's resting stink eye.
All right. So anything to add to that, Luke, at all? I know I like having you in this show because, like I said, you have always been the kind of guy going, yeah, I'll go along with you.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, you know, most of that sounded right. I'll be honest, I'm more distracted than usual. This is the first time I'm seeing, a screen of my face play out in front of me as I'm on the show.
Well, so. There you go. And ladies, he's single. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. So let's get back to this just really quickly. So you know, as fans of the show, you guys, and I'm shouting out to anyone out there in the audience who's long-time also listeners. A fan. That's right. Is that what we do is we apply a little bacon to every episode. What we do is we talk about the acronym BACON. So it's not necessarily the bacon for chewing.
Oh, but it is the bacon for doing.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you. That warms my heart. Makes me sizzle a little. All right. So what we're going to do is this show is no different. So what we're going to do is we are going to talk a little bit more about conflict and why it's important. But then we're going to get into how a young manager can work with conflict. When it happens, what are they supposed to do? What are some of the pitfalls for especially young managers? But here's what we do. The bacon is this. When you see conflict, it's B, breathe and step back. All right? Because what we want is we want you to make logical choices, not emotional choices. A, acknowledge and accept the issues. C is create a safe space for dialogue. O is offer solutions and validate other people's solutions. And N is negotiate and communicate a resolution. So that's what we're going to work on today, all of these. And I've even got some practice exercises, certain things we can do for each one of those. So I'm going to kind of fill you in after I've been in business a little longer than the two of you guys. Just a touch. So I've been in a lot of conflicts, many that I caused. And so I found this is sometimes the best way to resolve those issues. But I want to get back into this whole thing of how conflicts, if handled correctly, can actually make us a team stronger. Okay, one of the things I just saw, you know, we always see those motivational posters, and I was listening to a podcast, a different podcast, so I'm going to steal a lot of their good information, is I see they talk about these motivational posters, like the team pulls together, you know, we're all hanging together, we row together, and the boat moves faster, you know, that kind of stuff. And we talk always about teamwork is us all agreeing. And in reality, what we need to do is teach people that successful teamwork involves a lot of disagreeing. All right, because that's the way that you've come up with fresh ideas. I like the way you had said it earlier, Nate, is that when people just say, well, that's the way we've always done it, because I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to cause any commotion. I don't care. I have an opinion, but I'm going to keep it to myself because no one's going to listen, or I just don't want to stir the pot, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
So if we learn to introduce conflict on a regular basis, we will create stronger teams as long as we do it correctly. Now, the toughest part for you guys, while I'm doing it, I'm going to keep flipping the camera around, make sure you guys are staying awake. All right. The toughest part for you guys as young managers is this, is that you have to kind of constantly be proving yourself to your superiors, all right, because they're watching you. You have to prove yourself to your peers so that they can show that you're at the same level with them, as well as you need to prove yourself to the people who are answering to you.
Right.
You know, so you've got this extra edge. You've got some weight on your shoulders that's on top of it, and it's important to understand it and emphasize and just explain it and know that we all should understand this, but don't let that get in the way. Make right. logical decisions, not emotional decisions. As soon as you start making emotional decisions, that's when you're going to start making mistakes.
And what's true too is when you start making those emotional decisions, your team is going to see it. It is almost immediately apparent, and there is no faster way than to lose the respect of both the people above you and below you.
Yes.
Than for them to recognize that you're making decisions based on emotion.
Yep. Yep.
And because in the workplace, and I've seen it both above and below me with managers and then people that I've been managing, where I can tell that they're not focused necessarily on the goal, but more how they feel, and it's just you lose your credibility.
Yeah. I agree with you 100% on that. Luke, what do you think about that? As far
about
as
emotionality,
yeah. There you go.
Over emotionality.
Right. Maybe. Right.
No, I think it's a killer. You know, I don't exactly work in a white collar office.
Yes.
So I see a lot more emotion on display.
You do see a lot more. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Because you know people. When they're walking around in just like, you know, t-shirts and jeans, I think there's less of a barrier, so they think they can just be like approach you as a person, like, you know, just straight up, which is good in some respects, but also it can lead to, you know, like I've seen a lot of people who just don't treat their higher-ups with the level of respect that they probably deserve.
Right, right, because they just seem like, hey, you're just one of the guys here.
Yeah.
Which is a big problem for young people moving into leadership, is to prove that, you know, especially when you were friends at first, and then all of a sudden you're in charge of them, or worse yet, there are people who were in charge, and now you have been promoted above them. So there's a lot of disrespect there, not even just a lack of respect. There's a lot of disrespect there, and you've got to be able to grab onto that. And it's so important not to get so emotional, because you're absolutely right, Nate, is that'll ruin it. They'll be like, oh, now I see he makes these stupid decisions when he gets overly emotional. Let's push his buttons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because you said respect, and I've kind of been waiting for that. But
yeah.
I think that respect is one of the most key factors in healthy conflict. Both parties have to have a mutual respect for each other.
Yes.
Because if it is not there, the other's opinion or idea or suggestion is just going to be completely dismissed as useless.
Right.
You know, it could be from upper management saying, hey, we're going to do it like this. And lower management goes, you don't understand what's going on. You've got no idea what goes on here.
Yep.
We're not even going to entertain that idea. Or upper management saying, you know, we're going to do this. And when lower management responds, their thought is, well, you're always whining. You don't want to change. And so we're not going to take what you actually have to say into consideration.
Right, right. I think I'm gonna build on that, what you're saying. There's plenty of times that I was in that middle position, that young manager position, and I worked with my team, and the team was like, we never do this, we never do this. We sit there, we work out the plan, and then I take the authority, I make the decision, I go, you know what, we're going to start doing it this way. Because, you know, you guys made a lot of sense. Let's make it work. And then they come, really? You're going to make that happen, Marty? This is awesome. And you get your team to rally behind you. Then you go up the level to your people and say, this is how we're going to do it. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. No, we would never do that. What would make you think that we're going to do that? I'm like, great. Now I have to go back to the team who just rallied for me, right?
Right.
And say, yeah, I was wrong. And you talk about losing credibility so quickly.
Oh, immediately.
Yeah. And they can't seem to understand, but I fought for it. I fought for it. So that's one of the things you have to understand when you're young and in charge, is just that sometimes you're going to fight for an idea, and you have to tell them, I'm going to fight for this. I'm going to work for it. I can't definitely say it's going to happen.
Right.
Okay.
And what's a big thing too is if, let's say you promote that idea and you go to upper management and they say no, you have to go back to your team, you really have to sell the reason why it was a no.
Yes.
And what the new decision is. Because if you go back and you go, hey, upper management's a bunch of, you know, idiots, and they don't understand what's going on.
You can't do that.
You are gonna, you're just gonna undermine them, and then you're gonna have a team that feels like, well, we don't need to listen to them, or they don't understand us, and there's a disconnect. And you could actually make a pretty big void.
Sure.
That is, once you make it, is so hard to mend.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, so you never want to knock upper management. You never want to knock the direction the company wants to go in. What you have to, you at worst, you have to say, there are things that are going on right now that we are not privy to. There's a much bigger picture. We're one small cog in this massive machine. And although this decision, this conflict that we've resolved and we think this is the best direction, although that seems in all logical ways that this is the best answer, when I approached upper management and I explained this to them, they came back and they said, we can't do this, and try to explain it, why we can't do it. But sometimes you can't even explain it. Sometimes management goes, you don't need to know why. We're just not going to do that. And you have to be able to explain it to your team. Hey, we still have to do the best we can with what we have here.
Right.
And we're going to still champion what we're doing. And understand that sometimes it looks like we're stepping backwards, but it's for the greater good of the company. Whether we, whether you as the manager believe in it or not, you've
right.
got to stand for the company. You've got to, that upper management, if you can't stand for the upper management, if you disagree so wholeheartedly with the upper management, then you go to them and you say, "We, here's the conflict is between me and upper management." You've got to do that. You can't have that fight with your, with the people answer to you.
Right.
Because it'll just fall apart, like you said.
It just undermines it. And they actually lose respect for you, because part of it is them knowing that they, you have the full backing of upper management above you. So if they notice that rift and they realize you're kind of standing on your own, you have less authority and less force behind you whenever you're disciplining them or doing anything like that. Because they lose, they know that you're in, you know, in conflict with upper management. So you're kind of on your own.
And although we so often what we do is we say it's quite all right, you know, so I'm just going to say upper management said this, we can't do it. You know, they never agree with us. They never think of us. You got to keep in mind, sometimes we want to do that to connect with our team more, like find a common enemy, but we use upper management as the common enemy. And it's so wrong, because although at the moment it seems smart, what happens is you turn the team against the company. Yep. And the team starts learning, wow, you'll turn your back on anyone. You're right. Turning your back on the people who are paying you. You know, you're turning on the people who are employing us. So how do I know that you're actually going to bat for us when you go and you talk to them?
Yeah.
So, it's so important. There is a scene, and Luke, I'm going to throw a movie scene at you. All right, because this is it. This is for you. From Saving Private Ryan, mm-hmm. All right, there's a part where they're marching and they're talking about, one of the soldiers asks Tom Hanks, how come you don't complain? Mm-hmm. You remember that scene?
Vaguely.
Vaguely, yeah, sure. All right. And so I was hoping you'd do the scene of the movie, but that's all right. But it's basically Tom Hanks is the captain, right? He's the captain. And so he basically goes, no, we don't complain. I don't complain to you. We complain uphill, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what we do is if you have a complaint, you come to me. If I have a complaint, I go uphill. I never complain down to you. It doesn't make sense, because it's going to make the whole establishment fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he even takes it a step further and they go, well, if you did have a complaint, if you didn't want to go on a mission, what would you tell the general? And he would say, well, thank you very much for this honor, sir. And he goes, I still don't complain. You just follow the rules, because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I kind of agree with it, but I also disagree with the fact that he demonstrated that he wouldn't even complain to his superior officers.
Right.
Okay.
Because I think there's a little bit of that in, you know, yes, the military is one thing, but they your team wants to know that you will go to upper management and bring the grievances or anything. And you have to, as a manager, be able to filter what is complaining and griping and what is legitimate issues that need to be addressed, and kind of filter that and then bring it to upper management. Your team needs to see you be willing to at least have the dialogue.
Right.
You can't just go, you know, they go, this is a problem. And you go, yeah, I'll talk about it. And then you never do anything with it.
Right. I think there's a difference. And one day what I want to do is I got to find somebody in the military. So if there's anyone out there who was an officer in the military who really could talk intelligently about about the military and the hierarchy of the military and how the rules of the military are very, very strict. And there isn't the whole, so troop, what do you want to do today? There isn't that attitude, okay? And it's really important that that attitude doesn't exist. I would love to talk to somebody who's been in the military and now works in industry and just talk intelligently about the differences and trying to either change and adapt to company life, or did you bring some of that stuff from the military to your company? Okay, so let's get into this, guys. We're going to start pretty soon. It's at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a little break. But in the beginning, I want to do this whole idea. I want to drive home again the idea of values and norms, values and the cultural norms of a business. Is in companies that you have worked at, whether it be the current one or previous companies, would you say that they did a really good job establishing their company values and establishing the company culture for you? And the culture is a matter of how we do the day-to-day, who we go to for questions, how we resolve conflict, how we work together as a team. Would you say, and again, it's whether it's the companies you work for now, you don't have to identify companies, or the companies you worked for in the past, would you say they did a good job establishing that? So which one of you guys would like to tackle that?
You know, I've worked for a few different companies. And okay. In the past, I worked for a very large corporation, you know, worldwide. And I can honestly say I had no idea what the company values,
wow.
The norms, anything. You know,
okay.
You showed up and it was, you know, be on time,
yep.
Do your job, go home. And that was, you know, and I think it's difficult. The larger the company, the harder it is to kind of pass that, you know, the norms and the values down. You know, you can have a nice poster on the wall,
yeah, yeah,
that says we treat our customers like family,
right,
or something like that, you know. But there's the personal touch,
yep,
that is there. And you can accomplish that with a larger company. But you
Thank
have
you
to,
for coming back with
you,
that.
You
right, right.
have to have upper management drilling that into the middle management, and the middle management
yes.
into the lower management, and
yes.
the lower management into the individuals that they interact with daily. I mean, it has to be very, you know, set. Whatever the values are, everybody should know it. You know, maybe not verbatim, but it
right.
should be the general idea. And if you have those values and they're clearly defined, but not just defined, but demonstrated. If you say,
right.
you know,
yep.
we treat our customers this way, then the people who are above and below you need to see you treating them this way.
Correct.
Or acting in that way.
You
can, you know, that is where it really hammers home, you know.
I think you're 100% correct, is that it has got to happen at every level. The board of directors understands the value and the culture of the company, and they've got to make sure that the officers understand that. And the officers have to go down to the managers or the directors, to the supervisors, all the way down to the front line. Those people, if the front line are not clear on the culture of the company, how the company works, or if they're not clear on the values, someplace in there's miscommunication. And if the company wants to be successful, they've got to find that missing link. Where is communication falling down? And sometimes what happens is, when we talk about large companies, what ends up happening is they are so focused, managers are so focused on becoming successful, I want my team to do so great, that they forget to focus on what's best for the company. And so they ignore the culture, they ignore the values, and they go, let's just really kick ass here. Let's be fantastic and move forward. And before you know it, they might do stuff that's wonderful, but a lot of times they do things that are to the detriment of the company.
Absolutely.
So, Luke, what about you? Have you worked at places that were clear or unclear about values and culture?
I have worked at places where the value and culture are clear.
Okay, good.
I worked at, I'll say a decently big corporation.
Yeah.
I went through a lengthy video watching process,
okay.
as part of starting the position.
Sure.
And I feel like 4 hours of it were just establishing company values and company
That's
culture.
Actually really good. I'm glad to hear that. And mm-hmm. when out of the companies that you worked for, that were some really made it clear versus some that were not, that were not as clear, did you see a definite difference between the two? Like, what was, which one was easier to work with? Which was easier to find? What I'm supposed to do, make decisions, etc.
I found that the companies that did have very clearly defined value and culture, it just felt like more organized. That there wasn't, that there was some plan for something if something went wrong. And I worked for a pretty exact opposite job.
Okay.
That was, you know, not a very large company, not a company at all, really.
Okay.
Just like a one local place, and yeah, like that was who was running it. And it was like basically the opposite, where it was like, you knew, because they weren't like, they weren't talking about, oh, the, what the culture is here and the value is here. You kind of knew that there wasn't a plan in place for everything.
Yeah.
That it was all just sort of one person being like, well, what should we do about this?
which could be a good culture, but I think what has to happen is they have to understand that that's the culture they're promoting. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. And too often, small companies like you're talking about, what they do is they forget to establish that early on, because it makes it so much easier. It makes it easier to retain employees. It makes it easier to hire employees. It makes it easier for employees to make decisions. Because if I know the culture or the values of the company, I can say, well, based on these values, this is why I made this decision. If you're like, I don't know what the value, what this company stands for, then we assume all we want to do is sell more products, sell more service. So then I'm going to make these the wrong decisions. All right, so it's really important that we establish that. So that's cool. Guys, I'm going to take a little bit of a break here, just momentarily. We're just going to talk to some friends of the station, and we'll be back right away. So thank you all so very much for listening to WRLR 98.3 FM. We're not going away, just a couple of little announcements, and we're going to come back, and we're going to see how do we handle conflicts. All right, stay tuned. And we are back. Thank you so much for staying tuned in to WRLR 98.3 FM, The Life. You're listening to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. Today I've got two incredibly special guests, my two boys here, and we're talking about young leaders, young management, trying to move up in their work, and whether you wanted to become a supervisor, a manager, etc., how far you want to move up, that's completely up to you. Every single level of a company is as important as the next. They all make different decisions, and that's how they get defined differently. So we've been talking a little bit about the importance of conflict resolution and how important conflicts and encouraging conflicts is. So we're going to continue now. How do we deal with conflicts? And this is where we're going to apply some bacon, guys. All right, so the first bacon thing here is breathe and step back. This is this idea of what happens sometimes, too often, most of the time, every once in a while, what happens is when you're faced with a conflict, you have a knee-jerk reaction. You want to shout back. You want to stop somebody. You want to say something to end it and just say, no, you're wrong. That's idiotic. That doesn't make any sense. That's our knee-jerk reaction. So as good leader, what you need to do is take a deep breath, step away, walk away. Now, I have had some managers in the past. I'm the kind of guy who, whether I accidentally or purposely create conflicts, I'm always looking for another way. It's to, you know, that idea of out of the box thinking has always been the way I directed. And so I've always looked for something else. So I've always like kicked it around when somebody said, hey, this is where we're going to do it. I was like, well, why don't we try it this way? Why don't we try it this way? So I've had some managers who have just been not receptive to new ideas. And I've been told, shut up and just do your job. Okay. And I've heard that more often than not. What about you guys? Anything like that ever happened to you?
I don't know how much that's happened to me, but I've been at times the one wanting to say, shut up and do your job. It's tricky, you know, because I had a situation. I was running a team of four, and we had an issue at hand, and I just kind of walked into the room, and I was like, hey, this is a problem we need. You know, we need a solution, and somebody threw out a solution, and my knee-jerk reaction is like, sure, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. Yeah. And I was like, no, not that. And, you know, and I had to take a step back, and I looked at it, and it was still the dumbest thing I'd ever heard in the entire world, but I had to have that moment with myself of going, I can't just shut them down, because they do have good ideas, and it's someone who I know is pretty consistently has, you know, the right thought process.
Gotcha.
Going. So I can't let that one thing be the reason that I go, no, wrong. You know, but it's you have to have that little space to breathe just because you think you have the answer.
You got to learn to follow up with, and some of the dumbest ideas are the best ideas. So please keep it coming.
Yep.
So, Luke, I heard you laugh over there. What, you got anything to add about that? Are you the knee-jerk reaction kind of guy, or have you seen that?
Column A, column B.
Okay.
There are times when I'll be like, you know, I work for a place where you are, there's a guide to do everything. There's a right way to do it.
Okay.
But just, there are a lot of situations where that way to do it is just, very inconvenient for present circumstances, or I think is not particularly pivotal to the actual work being done, which has sometimes brought me into conflict with upper management. Nothing serious, but you know, I'll have a little debate and be like, well, why don't we do it like this?
Good.
And I've found that the people who will respond and give an actual reason, I respect more as managers than people who are just like, listen, I'm not going to give you a reason. Just do it the way you're supposed to. And yeah, sure, maybe I'm supposed to do it the way I'm supposed to. But why?
Yeah.
Why am I supposed to?
You just want the why. And that's and that's what's important. And that's the type of people. If I'm going to hire people, I want people to ask, why are we doing it this way? I want to challenge these things because that's how we're going to grow. So the practice exercise for this is called the 5-minute walk, okay? And so when you hear something that somebody says, why are we doing it this way? This doesn't seem to be productive. There seems to be a better way. Why don't we do it this way? A good rule of thumb, until you get to the point where you can really relax, the good rule of thumb is, thank you for your input. Let me ponder that for a moment because I really want to think of the whole thing. Give me 1 second and actually walk away. Walk away, because we don't want that knee-jerk reaction. We want to be able to say, okay, logically, does this make sense? Logically, if I put myself in their shoes, yeah, this maybe does make sense from their standpoint. I'm looking at it from my standpoint. I get called from many companies that I have nothing to do with. I know nothing about their industry, but they pick my brain just for that reason. They're like, how can we improve productivity? We need somebody outside of the industry to look at what we're doing. And I walk in and I purposely question most things. And I go, and I do the same thing what you're saying, Luke, is I say, why are you doing it this way? Doesn't it seems to me that it would be faster to do it this way. And then they'll explain to me. All right, now they're explaining it to me because they've hired me to look at their stuff. So they're a little more apt to do that. But what happens is I get them to question their own stuff. So it's really important to do the 5-minute walk away. It doesn't have to be a solid 5 minutes, but just walk away from it. Tell the person you're going to get back to them. And when you come back, for the most of the time, you should be able to say, we're not going to do it this way. I appreciate your input. I think I see where you're coming from. We can't do that because of this reason, or we won't do that because of this reason, or that's a great idea. Let's initiate it. Okay. So yeah. I think it's really important because we got to come back to it logically, not emotionally.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good. I just think that being able to take that little bit of time to really try to focus on why they think that's a good idea is going to allow you to respond, even if you're telling them no, but you're like, you can really relate. Like, okay, based off your scenario, your situation, this makes sense to you as a solution.
Right,
this is why it doesn't big picture.
Yep.
But I understand why it makes sense to you. And really explain why, if you don't go with that, you know, why you aren't, rather than just saying no.
I agree. Now, one of the things we've talked about, and it started with sales training a lot, is in sales training, you practice your role play and you throw out scenarios all the time. What if the customer says this? How would you come back? What if the customer says this? How would you close the sale, et cetera? And I think it's really important for a company to succeed is to do that same role playing and saying, all right, so what happens if the three of us are discussing what we should be doing and Luke disagrees with us? All right, as a manager, a young manager, you don't necessarily have to role play with Luke. All right, sorry, Luke, I'm just saying you're the guy today. It's what you've got to do is you've got to at least role play in your head to say, every time somebody disagrees with me, how am I going to respond? And you've got to come up with this and practice that. And one of the things you got to practice is not losing your cool, taking a deep breath and saying, okay, this is cool. I understand what you're saying. Give me 1 second. Let me finish what we're saying. Then I will think about what your response is. I think. And that's what's important, how we move forward.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, I think that's really big.
All right. So let's move right into A. So that's that breathe and that's the B, breathe and step back. A is acknowledge and accept the issue. All right. And so what we mean by that is acknowledge the idea that their opinion might be right, or acknowledge the idea that they have the right to their opinion.
Okay.
And that's another way for us to take a deep breath. If that's all we do is we say, you know, I appreciate what you're doing here. Okay. And if they go, this is a big problem, this is a nightmare, you might go, it's not a nightmare to me. But at least acknowledge that to them, whatever's happening is a dilemma that means a lot to them. Remember, they're in a different position than you.
Yeah.
So have either you guys have you ever experienced something that you were like, this is just like falling apart? You know, the boat is leaking and the captain's like, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. You know, any scenarios like that that you can share, or how people handle it and how you wish they would have handled it?
So I did a student film with a friend of mine, an acquaintance, that began as a 6-page script. Now, when we're talking about short films, 6 pages sounds very short, but you want short because the longer a film is, it's going to be harder to get all that footage and get all those people to come and do the thing. So you want as little as possible.
Okay.
And we saw him, like, over the time of, like, helping him make this film, turn it from a 6-page script to a 26-page
Wow, that's script, quite a big difference.
Which, again, you know, if it's like a TV if it's a TV episode, sure, that's not a lot. But a TV episode's working with actual budget, you know,
right.
A real studio behind it. It's not a person going, hey, can I get you guys to come to my apartment 4 weekends in a row to help me film this for free.
Right, exactly.
So it was, and I was just like, dude, I know you think that this is going to be the best for the story. It wasn't, but, you know, let's just say it was.
Uh-huh.
But it's not, this is beyond what you're capable of.
Right.
And, but ultimately, at the end of the day, he was the director, he was the writer. So I was like, okay, I'll help you as much as I'm willing to this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will let you know that you probably should have just gone with a 6-page script.
And I think on top of it, what the important thing is, not to come back later with the whole "I told you so." Mm-hmm. Okay, because that doesn't solve it. That doesn't help. And ever that never, no one has ever gone, when somebody says "I told you so," they go, "Oh, I should always listen to you," so I never get that response again. Okay, so the "I told you so" is okay. Hey, you got to go back to him and say, "Hey, we learned something this time. We learned a lot of things. Let's move forward the next time. And the next time, let's not repeat that. Let's do it a little differently." Okay, and I think that's a better way to end that. I'm looking at the time here. It's like 7:45, and I want to get through all of these. Do you have anything on that acknowledge or accept issue? You're all good, Nate?
All good with
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Fantastic. All right, so I want to get into this idea. The practice exercise there is creating a balanced scorecard when you think of this. All right, think of this idea when you acknowledge and accept an issue is really create something. Put it down on paper, okay? Give everyone the ability to write down their interpretation of what the other person is saying. And just when I'm writing down, if you came to me and you said, this is the conflict, this is what's wrong, and I just excuse it, you feel like you're not heard.
Right.
But if I say, well, let me write this down, let me write this stuff down for you and give it a scorecard and actually list it all out, and I say, okay, this is the way we do it, this is the way you think we should do it, this is the problem, this is what I'm thinking the solution, or this is the why we're doing it, and I actually score it out, then I can come back and you're going to look at this going, man, he really spent some time on this. He really thought this through. He really listened to me. And I know this seems silly to do all of that, but imagine just me explaining it like that. If I came back to you on a serious conflict and I said, all right, let me hear what you've got to say. Let me write this down. Let me ponder on this. This also gives me some time to breathe, yep. Right? And I come back and I go, all right, so I was doing this whole thing, laying it all out, and this is the direction we want to go in. You're going to feel really, really hurt.
Yeah.
And you're more willing to come back to me later on.
Right, because it feels like your idea was actually taken in consideration rather than you just going, yeah, I'll think about it.
Exactly.
And then not.
Yeah, and then you look at the paper, and I've been doodling, not really writing anything down. Right? All right, so C is create a safe space for dialogue, okay? And this gets back to that whole, oh, just shut up and do what I say. What you've got to do is say, every idea is a good idea. B, because there are plenty of inventions right now that we live with that at some point in time, someone came up with the idea that everyone else in the world was like, what are you, an idiot? That doesn't work.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. So every idea you've got to say is a brainstorming idea. Let's throw it up on the wall. Let's see what works. Okay, when I was creating and inventing products, that's exactly what it was. Here's our problem that we need to solve. Throw out every single idea, and no one is allowed to belittle anything until that person left. No one's able to belittle anything or say anything negative. What you did is you put everything up on the wall, and then you started slowly eliminating the ideas. But you treat every idea like it could be the true answer. Okay? So when you do this, when you have conflicts, and obviously this is not these minor conflicts. These are the major conflicts that people are saying this is really affecting us, right. Our job. You have to sit there and you actually have to create a safe space. Like, you guys are more than welcome to share your ideas. I really need to hear from you. But you have to drive home the point. I'm the manager here, all right? I am the one who's going to take the heat for bad decisions.
Right.
All right? So I will always take your opinion, but I will not always take your advice. And I think that's something that really you have to drive home.
Yeah.
Because if I told you that, you guys free to give me as many opinions as you can, but understand I can't take your advice. I'm not going to go along with every single idea. But it's important that you share your stuff because together we're going to conquer something. And I want you to disagree with me so we can evolve and grow.
No, I think that's really, really big. And I think it's really important to just enforce that both with listening, but then also showing, hey, you know what? I heard you, but no.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah, I mean, as much as we don't want to say no, okay? I mean, picture yourself, Luke. How good are you at saying no to people?
Oh.
do you want to talk right now?
If I have to. I gave you that
option to say no. But so obviously you're not good at saying no. So what do you think? I mean, how are you, if you had a team of 20 people, how do you think you would do with this conflict? If 20 people and six of them had one idea, six of them had another idea, and then the other eight had a completely different idea, and now it's up to you. How do you deal with that?
I think I would try to hear them out. I would try to hold a forum of some kind.
Okay.
This is all depending on what the actual job is.
Right.
If it's like a completely different hours and whatever, that would be like unfeasible. But just try to get these people together and try to be like, okay, let's all talk this out. Let's hear each other's ideas.
Sure.
But like, let's just be civil about it and let's figure out what's actually going to be best for the group rather than just the best in like, you know, one guy's head.
Right, right. Now, obviously, when you have time to do that, but sometimes, the conflict is, hey, the building's on fire. Six people want to use fire extinguishers, a few want to throw on water, and the rest just want to run away. So you don't go, well, let's sit down and discuss this. Let's brainstorm what's the best idea.
I also think in a fire situation, there's not a manager per se. But
you got to be prepared for it. Everyone's got to know where the exit doors are.
If 20 right? people are coming to me asking, what do we do? There's a fire. I think that building's just going up. I don't think anyone's leaving that building.
I think they all just want to be your fire buddy. That's what it is, Luke. They're always like, you were supposed to hold hands as we leave the building. I want to hold Luke's hand. That's what it comes down to.
Always.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. All right. So it's important to create a safe space so people can feel that they're being heard and you're open to them. All right. So the other thing now is always offer solutions and validate. So it's one thing for people to talk about what they're conflicted, the direction, but it's also important not to let everyone just whine. Okay. That's awful is when you're in a meeting and all you got are whiners saying, oh, I hate when we do this and we always do this. This is stupid. That you don't want because that's not a productive meeting. So what you need to do is tell people, okay, if you got a conflict, there's something wrong here. Give me an idea of a solution. Give me something, a better way to do this. It's not necessarily means we're going to do it, but I want you to hear something because it's easier for me to validate your opinion, your idea, if you have a solution, as opposed to you just whining, okay? There is nothing I dread more, especially in business, from people who work for me, is somebody who just comes to me to whine.
Yep. Yeah, and that's something I know that I've tried to promote with the teams is if, you know, people are so willing to hear an idea and tell you everything that's wrong with it.
Yep.
But not then have an alternate solution. It's really easy to go, well, that won't work, and that won't work, and that won't work. Okay, if that won't work, then what will? And really promoting that thought of what is going to make it better.
Is there a better way?
Yeah, sure. Because, again, complaining without a solution is whining.
Right, right. Luke, you a whiner, or you drink beer?
Well, I'm noncommittal, you know.
I love it. I love it. And you can't be the Monday night quarterback. You can't complain about what happened unless you had actual, you know, input. And you know, when they ask you your opinion, you got to jump in there and say, this is the direction we have to do. If you don't, or this is the direction we want to go in. If you don't commit, if you don't help solve the problem early on, you really don't have the right to complain about the end goal, okay? You can say, all right, did we learn something from this? If you spoke up and you said, I really think we should do it this way, and everyone says, no, we're going to do it this way, and you ended up being right, you don't have the right to gloat either,
right?
Okay? And so just be really careful on how you handle it, because I also see a lot of people, I've been in meetings and seen businesses where somebody goes, well, I told you, no one listens to me. If you listen to me, we would have done it the right way, and all of that kind of stuff. And none of that is productive.
Right. And I think there is something to be said, and something that if you feel like you are in the situation where you are always promoting things or you have ideas and you aren't being listened to.
Right.
The whole kind of managing up concept is why isn't somebody listening to me?
Yeah.
Why is the way that I portray my ideas or how I'm saying things, are they not being taken into consideration?
That's a great point.
And there's, you know, because I have dealt with team members and whatever where they are always, they're always very complaining about very minimal things, and everything is an issue, everything's always a problem. And then at times there will be an actual problem and no one listens. Because it's like the little boy who cried wolf.
Yep.
You know, and then you actually have a problem. They go, oh, I said this was a problem. And people are like, well, you said 18 other things were a problem and they weren't. And so we stopped listening to you. So kind of honing in on that. Why am I not being listened to? Why aren't my ideas being taken into consideration?
I think that's really good. I like that. How would you handle that is if you got that person who really, you know, bucks the system on every single thing. Well, we should do this. You know, I think we should all get color-coded paper clips. I think, you know, we should do this. We should do this. You know, we all should all wear uniforms and every Friday wear different color gym shoes. Whatever it is where you're sitting there going, they're coming up with ideas to change things for the sake of change. And many of these ideas you suddenly kind of realize make no sense. Okay, or at least make no sense for the direction the company wants to go in. These aren't ideas that follow either the culture or the value of the company. And like you said, how would you deal with somebody who is constantly, day after day, I'm going to throw it to you.
Yeah, I think as a leader, you have to be patient and you have to listen to all of them, but you also have to maybe take the time to reiterate the values, the goals, or kind of what you're trying to do with that person. Go, I noticed with your suggestions, you're sometimes a little off track, and just kind of really dialing in what your vision is, or what the CEO's vision or whoever's is, and kind of direct them, because you're like, you're an idea person, and I like that you're willing to throw out ideas, but maybe let's focus on the actual issues rather than you just throwing things out for the sake of hearing yourself.
I love
talk.
That. I love that. You know what? It's I don't know what just happened here. There we go. Sorry about that. I love that way of handling that kind of resolution is looking at that and congratulating, acknowledging that they're an idea person, that they're sharing these ideas, and you want to continue to encourage that. But then maybe focus or categorize the ideas. And maybe what you end up doing is you ask them straight out. If you got a guy who's always got a conflict, always coming up with an idea, maybe what you end up doing is categorize them. Is this going to help productivity? Is this going to increase profit? Is this something that's going to cut expenses? Or is this something that's just going to be fun and maybe great for morale? And you ask them how that fits in, because you might go, if it's not an urgent change, why don't we save it till Friday and we'll meet together and hear all the things. If it's something that needs to be addressed right now, let's talk about it.
Right.
And so I do agree that these people with massive ideas and constant ideas, just you need a way to harness them, to pull them in.
Right. So, and you don't want to stifle their ideas.
No.
You have to just redirect it.
Yeah, because they might come up with 100 ideas that you think are silly or useless, but then they'll come up with that one brainstorm that everyone's going to go, oh my God, why didn't anyone else think of that? That's genius, right? So you never want to shut them up. Any comment on that, Luke?
Acknowledged and approved.
I'm so glad. You didn't even give me a chance to change the camera on you. All right, so beautiful. All right, so far what we did here was we did B, which is breathe and step back, very important. A, acknowledge and accept the issues. C is create a safe space for dialogue. O is offer solutions and validate their solutions. And then finally, N, negotiate and communicate a resolution. And I think this is something we've been talking about. I think you were the first one to mention the word negotiate, Luke, earlier on. And the idea of, Nate, you were talking about you have to identify the resolution. You can't just have a conversation with them and saying, well, tell me more about your stance. Okay, that's interesting. Why would you do that? Okay, that's interesting. Walk away. Because then I'm going to feel empty. I'm going to say, and so what are we doing? So you need to be able to negotiate with them and play the devil's advocate a little bit and say, well, what about this? What about that? Throw this back and forth, weigh the pros and cons on a regular basis with them, and then verbalize the resolution. All right, so based on this, it's always one of three things. We're not going to do this because it doesn't fit in with our needs, right? It doesn't fit in with our culture. It doesn't fit in with our values. So we're not going to do this. The next one might be, yes, it's great. Let's start it right now. Let's put it in motion. Or three, we like the idea. We can't start it right now. We're going to postpone it a little bit. Maybe we'll start it in 6 months or that. Don't lose it. That's a great idea when we grow to that point. So it's always got to be one of those three things. And when there's only three answers, why not give them the resolution? Right. Why not tell them the direction we're going in? Okay? Yeah. Does that make sense to both of you?
Absolutely.
Both of you guys, both of you great nodders for radio.
That's it.
Amazing nodders.
The silence is deafening. Yeah,
there you top go. Of our game.
That's yeah. it. That's it. So there, for that, I'm going to put the camera on Luke for this. So one of the important things to do is sometimes during the negotiation process is do a role reversal. Okay, and actually you lay the whole thing out. And I like this. This is the extreme version of playing the devil's advocate. So what ends up happening, I'm taking the camera off of you for sure now. All right, is what you do is whenever there's a conflict, whenever you come up with a new idea, a concept that you want to work with, it's always good to automatically make someone the devil's advocate. You say, right. It's your job is to shoot holes in this idea. Mm-hmm. You come up, even if you agree with it, start shooting holes in it so that we will face the problems now as opposed to later on.
Yep.
All right. And so sometimes what you do is that to the extreme version, what you end up doing is actually switch roles and you say, okay, you think we should do this. I think we should do this. So once we've worked it through, switch roles and say, I want to hear you tell me why my idea is good. And I will tell you why your idea is good. And it really forces us because it's easy for me to knock your idea and tell you everything that's wrong with it. But when I flip it over and I have to struggle to say, why is yours a good idea? That shows that I'm empathizing with you and we're moving forward. Okay. Yeah. And we can really, maybe do something incredible. I'm looking at the time. It's 8:00. So any closing words from you guys before they cut us off?
No, not much. I really liked what we had to cover today.
Yes. I know you guys want to speak longer, but we're going to have this conflict with the owners of the station, so we can't do that.
Eventually, we'll get this show to 2 hours.
Well, exactly. Give me 5 minutes to breathe about it, and then I'll come back and
all right,
we'll
talk good. About it. We'll probably play some music in the meantime.
Okay.
All right. So I'm sorry for ending the show so quickly on you guys, because this has been really cool. I really enjoyed the show. Can't wait for next month, second Monday.